You wouldn't know it for some of the things I've said over the years, but I like people. I do. I like people, but I like them in short bursts. I don't like people for extended periods of time. I'm all right with them for a little while, but once you get up past around minute, minute and a half, I gotta get the fuck out of there. And my reason is for one that you may share, possibly. I have a very low tolerance level for stupid bullshit. That's all. Stupid bullshit.
This is a continuation of thoughts of my prior podcast talking about the transparency and the lack of that in dating dynamics. When you are talking to people in the beginning and they're yearning for this transparency because they're so tired of being lied to and misled, and they feel gullible and all these different emotions that come out in a dating experience that are negative. And I feel that for all of us, the transparency and honesty is very important, but I think there's even two bigger pillars that all of us, and whether it's a relationship and human relationships, I look at it more of an anthropology perspective. I think that the two biggest components that we deal with is control and expectations. If you think about a relationship or a connection you have with somebody, those things are lingering in our subconscious. Control of the situation, control of how you want things to be, control a desired outcome, right? And then you have expectations. You may have a subconscious expectations of this is what I want to experience in a relationship. This is what I want to give in a relationship versus the reality of it all, right? And I feel that when I, you know, reflect back on it, I'm saying to myself, you know, outside of the transparency, there is an expectation. Like for me, there was an expectation of when you are in a dynamic of polyamory, or when you're dating somebody that's polyamorous, the biggest thing you have to do is convey to everyone what's your situation. So what I mean by that is that if I am dating someone that's polyamorous, and then on a Friday night, I end up going out with somebody that's more conventional, vanilla, more of the regular world, then I have to let my polyamorous person know, hey, by the way, I'm going to go on a date this Friday. That's the expectation, because everyone, since you're all fucking around together, you got to know when they're fucking stepping out of line. So if something comes up, if you get gonorrhea or something like that, I'm not saying that, but it's a level of courtesy. And that's the thing. It's like you have this expectation that people are going to follow that. And I'm saying to myself, you know, just reflecting back, I haven't even looked at any messages. I'm like, you know, I'm not going to look at anything. I'm just going to go the cold treatment. I'm muted at all. I'm not doing anything, because you have to. I'm just reflecting on the whole experience of, okay, what happened here? Okay, this is a person. What triggered me, right? And what triggered me was not the control, because I know I can't control another person, but I know a lot of people do. But it's the expectations that were set from the beginning. That's usually the common trend with me, that the expectations that is placed on the table of discussion from day one, that's not being followed. That's there is something hidden to that. You want to get there, you know, when they talk about these things. And I was reflecting on it and saying to myself, okay, what's been the common theme in this? And these two pillars have been the problems with me. And it's not me wanting to control somebody. It's someone wanting to control me, telling me how to dress and telling me how to be. Like, I was talking to somebody else that was questioning, like, why are you always working? Why is it that you work? And I was like, well, you know, I kind of work every day. Part of it, I like it. I like working every day. I love my job. I love the company I work for. I love my boss. I love the staff. So part of it is doing that. But I told them it's also, I have a lot of freedom with my parenting. I have a lot of flexibility to, when my daughter needs to go to the doctors, or my daughter needs to go to camp, or my daughter needs to, I could be there without any worries, because I'm given that flexibility. So in my head, as a stand-up person and a professional, I'm going to go back to my job and say, since you give me this flexibility, it's okay if you reach out to me 9 o'clock on a Friday. It's okay if you reach out to me on a Saturday on vacation when I'm out in Vegas or when I'm out, you know, outside the country. It's okay. Because that's the trade-off that I'm getting. I'm getting the leeway to be a dad that a lot of men that make good money don't have, okay? And I have that flexibility. So I am not going to take that for granted and not work. And not, that's a commonsensical thing to feel, right? But this woman was questioning me on that. Like, why don't you take time off? You need to take time off. It's like, are you, how many days off you have? Oh, you're in the, like, she was just like badgering me. And I was telling her, look, this is the problem with you women. It's that you want to come in and fix the situation. And I told her, have I been complaining about my job? She goes, no, no, I love my job. So I'm not complaining about my job. And I'm able, and look at the things I've done in the past year. I've been to Germany. I've been to Amsterdam. I just went to Vegas. I went to the Dominican Republic. I went to Texas. I go all over Florida. This is just in a year I've done all this shit. I've been to like five, you know, seven, eight places. And I'm able to travel all the time. Oh, and I'm able to be a good dad too. Oh, and I'm able to do these things. So I'm not complaining. And she realized, and she's like, my bad. I'm not going to do that again. I'm like, yeah. And I said, that's okay. That's all you women. That's how you girls are. And I said it like in a dickhead comment, because it's always the case. That's been a consistent, like a woman cannot help herself. Like, they're just so used to having a man, like having to groom them into however they want them to be and how to think. And it's like, do you see me struggling here? Like, do you see me living in my mom's basement, riding a 79 fucking 280Z that barely works? Like, what do you see me projecting? Like, I'm okay. I have my own place. I have a good job. I travel. I'm happy. I'm not complaining to you. So why do you have the need for that? So control is something that I battle all the time. Control. And I think many of us do. I think many of us in relationships, whether you're the person that is wanting to control, if this is women know they want to control a guy and tell him how to be and who to be and so on and so forth. And a guy is also controlling. And a guy feels justified. And the thing is, though, I will say this. When it comes to the topic of control, the person that's providing the lifestyle has to have the final decision. I mean, I don't care what you say, ladies. Like, if he's providing a roof and he's providing a lifestyle and he's paying more than half, that's the key. Maybe you're paying, but if he's paying the big chunk of loads on the day-to-day cost of living, then you have to let him run that show. And that's what I'm always going to tell my daughter. It's like, look, it depends what kind of path you want to go. Like, if you don't want a guy controlling you, like, if you want to be able to do whatever Jazlyn wants to do, then you got to at least bring half. Because then if you're going to pay half of the bills, then guess what? He's going to be understanding. Now, if you want to be more traditional and you want to be like, okay, you're okay with him having, you know, as long as you have input, then you could be more submissive. You know, but I'm always going to tell her, if you don't like being controlled, or if you're worried about being cheated on when you're in a marriage or a relationship and you're not going to stand for that, then you better make sure you have your backup plan. You better make sure you have that degree. Better make sure that you know how to take care of yourself without a man. I want you to be with a man and a family and all of that stuff, because I think that's life. I think that's beautiful. I think that's how it should be. But if you are like, find somebody and they just make a mistake and you just can't bounce from that, like it's just too much for you, then you know you don't want to leave without nothing to fall back on, right? So control is something that we have to, us individuals, when we're going into a relationship, is how much control we're willing to give our partner. Like for me, the way I was wanting to be in a relationship was in the parenting dynamic. I wanted to trust mom and be a great assistant to that. That's what I wanted to be. I wanted to learn everything. I wanted to know everything that you did and jump in when I needed to. But I wanted to be with a woman that loved the parenting, loved taking the kids to school, loved teaching them, loved grooming the kids. All right. That's what I'm willing to give up that control on that. you know, and but that's not, you know, everyone's different, I guess is what I'm saying. And so, and then the expectations of it, like for me, that's always a problem. The second problem is expectations, like I just said with this lady. And the expectation was to communicate as we go along. Like, it's not something like, I'm not with you. I'm not like, it's not like we didn't say, don't cheat on me or not see other people. It's more of like, we had an understanding that when you live in that world, you're going to be meeting people, whether it's for coffee or for sex or whatever it is. It's not casual because you're trying to build a connection with that person. So it's not something like a overnight going to the bar, fucking somebody, coming back. Or swingers are like that. I think I've never been to a swingers environment, but that's what I hear. It's like you just go hang out, you fuck, and then you come back and let it be. You're not doing it. You're not staying in touch. You're not being friends. Maybe in some cases they are, but like polyamorous is more of people not wanting to just fucking, you know, fucking dash, I guess you could say. So that expectations is something that we all also, you know, we also wrestle with, because my expectations of when I meet people is laying it all out there and letting them know, hey, I would love to be with you. You know, like I had someone reach out to me and I'm saying to myself, did you read the profile, man? Because you're sitting here with this expectation, subconscious, that I'm on this site saying that I want a relationship because that's the way she sent me a message. And I'm saying, hi, did you read my profile? I said, no long-term relationship, nothing heavy. And I mean, I and you're coming at me with this wanting to be with somebody and share a life forever. And, you know, like I'm not in that mode right now. Like, I have no problem being connected to somebody and then just seeing how that works out down the line. But I don't want to have any heavy expectations of anything more happening. You know, that's why I'm dating unconventional. That's why I date people that are already in relationships and everyone knows about it, because there isn't that pressure of, okay, we have to see each other all the time. I have to take care of your kids. I have to, when we have birthdays and all these holidays that you have to celebrate for women, like I don't have to do any of that. I'm just more of a friend. We're like close friends with benefits, and we just hang out when you need a change of pace. That's what I need. So, you know, the expectations when you have them in meeting people, that's the two components that I have. It's the lack of people meeting up to the expectations that we put out to execute. And the controlling aspect of it. It's if you look at any relationship, any trouble that you're having, it's gonna come down to one of those two components. It's gonna become, it's like the expectations, like whether you cheated, you know, that's the expectation from one person is different than the other. As far as the forgiveness, as far as the mistakes and the process of how it went to, one person may think that, hey, you should never even thought of that. You should never even put yourself in that position. And the other person, you know, you just don't know these things. So I ultimately, when you're dealing in relationships, I know when I go into them and I'm talking to people, those are the two variables I look out for. I look out, okay, is this person trying to control me? Even though I'm letting them know that I'm not going to control them, I don't care to control how they are. I just want to be myself. This is who I am. Accept it or don't accept it. I'm okay with that, but I'm not going to conform to what you want me to be, right? Or it's the expectations of them wanting more, them wanting to have a heavier commitment, because they're already, the thing in the reality in the dating world is that you understand that women already have fuck buddies. Women already have people that they have they already have options to have sex. They just don't have an option for a relationship. Like, they don't have all those connections that they have on a casual basis, don't have any legs to stand on. So they're looking for something more wholesome and are willing to drop all those other options, those casual options, for the main guy. So I run into a lot of those women that are not, they see me that I want you to be the main guy. And I just don't want to be a fuck buddy because I already have enough of them. And I'm like, okay, well, I can't do that because I don't think I can prioritize the relationship to the level and to the energy that you expect. And But again, I mean, it's just that that's the sad dynamic, that people don't look in the mirror. And what I mean by looking in the mirror is looking at yourself, and whatever ugly truths about yourself are that the world has made you feel like it's ugly, you accept it, you own it, and you either fix it because you're not happy about it, right? Or if you don't think you're gonna fix it, just like with me, like I don't think I could be monogamous. Not because I'm always chasing the next thing. It's just that I like when a genuine connection is experienced, and I'm curious as a person to explore it. And that's who I am. Is that selfish? That we can go into deep that route or whatever it is, but at the end, I enjoy that part of me. See, like I own it, and I'm not trying to fix it. Just like my anger issues. I was a short-tempered kid, fly off the handle. I wanted to fix that. I said, you know what? That's not who I want to be. There was a time in my life where I needed to be short-tempered, where I needed to be defensive. Not anymore. You know, I'm fine. I made it out. I'm 46. I made it out. So I don't need to be that way. So you work on the triggers that cause you to be an angry fuck. So that's what I'm saying. When you look in the mirror, it's like you got to take that self-assessment and say, dude, this is who I am. That's it. This is who I am. Am I a nervous Nancy? Okay, I am. Am I enjoying it? Do I enjoy being a nervous Nancy? It's like, yeah, you know, it's okay. It's okay. Then just, if you like being that, then own it. But don't hide it and act like you're not a nervous Nancy. Don't act like you're not neurotic, that you don't like stressful situations, that you get bored. And that's part of how you want to be in life, like always in some drama filled activity. More power to you. But that's where we all fail, many of us at least fail, and that's the difference between me. And I think that's why people look at me really weird, because it's like I understand myself, I understand what I bring to the table, I understand what my flaws are. Maybe not flaws to you, but I know what people would frown upon not wanting to experience in a connection with me. I understand that. So knowing these things about yourself, you're able to own them. I'm not saying that of course I would like to adapt, but I know what happens. You know, when we adapt, when we try to compromise for another person, you're pushing your desire to be yourself down. And for me, I guess I've lived enough of a long life to try to appease other people, suppressing those parts of me and not getting anything in return that was worth my while, right? So that's where I feel I stopped doing that. I stopped, and everyone was going to tell you, well, you got to compromise. I'm like, I understand what that term means. It's not about compromising on the things that we do logistically or how we operate, like as roommates or whatever. Like, it's okay to compromise in those moments because you have to learn how to coexist. But my main core, after my self-reflection, is what I'm going to stick by. I'm going to convey that's who I am. And if that's something that you feel you don't like, that you can't control, or it doesn't meet your expectations, then that's when you have to giddy up and find somebody that falls in line. But in this world out there, I was even thinking about, and I'll leave with this, it's a long one, but I was thinking even about, okay, like what? Like, no one has really been honest and upfront with me, I would say. I think that outside of my ex-wife, I mean, I think she was the only one that was really upfront, and I wasn't the one that I was being upfront. Because I realized 6 months into it, I was like, man, I can't do this. Like I'm bored. And it's a harsh thing to say, but that those are the things that I had to say to myself, you know. And but that outside of her, I don't think there's anybody that was truthful from the beginning that I've dated. That you always find stuff out that should have been conveyed about them from the beginning, but they didn't choose to because they were afraid of being exposed. And I just don't operate in that way. That's a huge turnoff. Like, I'd rather you go fuck somebody else, like on a, go have fun at the bar and, you know, suck some dick. I'd rather you do that than to find out, you know, 4 months later that you're still married, or that, you know, that the reason you're badgering me was because of this other experience you were having, or, you know, all these different things, or that you were pregnant and you didn't want to tell me that you were pregnant during our, you know, like all, I can come up with all these scenarios where people were holding back, and I'm saying to myself, why are we even having these conversations if you can't be honest? Part of you being accepted, part of you being, and it doesn't matter if a guy rejects you, but I think talking it out loud now, I realize this. Women are afraid of rejection. That's what I realized with that woman yesterday that I was talking to about her holding back information. It's that they're so afraid of rejection. Guys are used to rejection. Like a guy like me, I'm fine with that. I'm fine moving on. A girl is not used to rejection. So for them, that's what I'm going to have my daughter. Jazz, if you hear this when you get older, there's this TED Talk on, I forgot the name of it. It's a TED Talk about sales. Getting no's. Sales. What is a TED Talk? I forgot the guy's name, man. Damn. But it was a guy that was Asian guy. He was, and what he talked about was how he had to learn how to deal with rejection, and he put himself in scenarios where he was going to be rejected, that he got used to it and he got comfortable and he was able to not worry about someone rejecting him. And I think that with women, learning how to be rejected, it doesn't devalue you. As men, we have to learn that. Like, as men, we have to learn that rejection is part of living. Like, not everyone finds us attractive. Not everyone finds us as a top priority. Even though you want to make them a top priority, that's not real life. So us men, we're used to dealing with rejection so much at a young age, because the girls that we really like, guess what? They're picking the guys that are, you know, more cooler than us, that have better clothes than us, that are taller, that are just more attractive. And it's okay. Like, that doesn't make me less of a person, but it's understanding the reality that no is a possible answer. So when I talk to these women, I realize that they're just not used to no. And not only that, but then I used to being rejected because of their fuck ups, right? It's like, that's another thing. It's like, you realize that these ladies, like, they don't do very well when it was them that dropped the ball, because it wasn't me. It wasn't me. You know, it wasn't me that dropped the ball. Like, I had my ex-fiance message me like a while back. You know, I don't have it in my phone anymore, but she was like, you know, I'm reading the book and I realized that, and I don't know how to take this, but this is how I took it. And she sent me a message saying, you know, I read a book and I realized that a lot of outside noise influenced me. And I, in a roundabout way, I'm paraphrasing, or the interpretation was, I should have trusted the bond. You know, like, I kind of tried to live in a way where I wasn't repeating past mistakes, not realizing that you were not like those people in the past. And like I said, that's usually the common theme with a lot of people in relationships. It's like they take on, like, my ex-partner wasn't the same as my ex-wife. They were two totally different people. I gave her the benefit of the doubt. Like, I don't carry over the vitriol, because if I carried the vitriol, I would go into Darth Vader mode like I did back in college, and then just lie, and, you know, I just do all these things out of anger. Play the game, lie, mislead, take them out to lunch, tell them I'm going to be in a relationship, I have sex, sex is not that great, I'm going to ghost you, you get angry, what's going on, I'm not interested anymore, you fucking asshole, you're a piece of shit dog, you know, I could do that and repeat the cycle, repeat the cycle, repeat the cycle. Hey, you want to go travel with me? I'm going to Austin. You want to go to the comedy show? We'd love to take you. Go hang out. What girl isn't going to turn down that experience with a guy that they find attractive and want to be in a relationship with, right? It's like I could go into that nasty trap, the honey trap, because I can provide experiences for women, but I'm not trying to do that, man. It is such a, as a man, I'm never going to have the results because I refuse to play that game. I don't want to, when I'm being honest with myself and saying, I can't prioritize a woman. You know, I can't prioritize a relationship. I tried doing that. I tried blending. I tried, and it just misfired. And right now, the way I'm looking at it is, look, let me work through with my preteen. Let me go ahead and focus on my career. I got some good things I'm trying to work on. And then just see how it looks on the other side. Once my daughter's grown up and has an idea of where she wants to be and is doing things with her friends and is out and about enjoying her life, learning the ways of life, then, you know, then you you go from there. Then that's the phase I'm in right now. So I can't make any guarantees or any commitments to anybody about that. And I understand if I miss some great gems along the way, that's life. But you understand, going back, that's a long rant, but it was about control and expectations. Those are the two main components that many of us arise, our emotions, our jealousies, our anger issues, our depression, you know, not having any control or having the expectations of a desired outcome not come to fruition. So if you're able to, I guess for me, knowing the control and expectations are the major components in human behaviors that we have all around us. It's about, from my end, what I do is control. I just tell people are variables I can't control. And when I set expectations, my expectations are very low. They are. And because I, just like with this person, recently I was telling them with the expectation, I was like, that's why I remind myself that you're married, because in my head, there is no hope for anything more. So when you remind yourself of that realistic expectation of what this connection is going to be, then, because there's a lot of people that are in polyamorous relationships that get into relationships with people. And what happens is the guy, after 6 months or so, he can't accept that he's the side piece, that he's not the first option. And then he's trying to vibe for like, hey, why don't you break up your husband and come with me? And it doesn't work that way. You know, that's the way these connections work, right? So you have that jealousy and that expectation of wanting more. And unfortunately, if we don't temper our expectations in a relationship, and I'm not saying you shouldn't want everything and anything, but if you could see that this is not what you're getting, then you have to act accordingly, right? And then, of course, control. Are you the controller? Do you want to, you know, do you mind not being controlled? You have to really gauge how you want that scenario to play out in your life. Do you want a 50-50 partnership where you guys are more teammates? And if you do, then you better bring something to the table in these days, because the traditional man and the traditional woman and the average income scale, it's not something that can happen. Unless you're willing to live in a shitty area, right? And that's fine. As long as you're okay with the downscaling of the lifestyle, which a lot of women are not, that's what it is. But anyway, that was a long ass rant of shit that I was pondering about. And for any of you that are listening to this long, I thank you. You know, it's crazy to just know that I have listeners all over the world, man. I was listening to Philippines, fucking Utah, Germany. I'm like, what the fuck, man? Like, people are just listening all over the place. And, you know, I don't know. I'm just a dude talking shit. So, you know, I appreciate you all. Hopefully you're taking something out of it, man. And, you know, no, I don't get paid for any of this, man. I do it for fun. This is a fucking hobby, man.
Sleeping in the same bed as someone does not make you close to someone. Living in the same house as someone does not make you close to someone. The only thing that makes you feel close to someone is when you feel you can be open, and when you feel seen, heard, and understood in your most vulnerable, darkest, and open times.